Good evening, everybody. It's great to see you here. The previous Reserve Bank board dinner was in Darwin, so it's great to be kind of down here in Melbourne and to have this Aboriginal art around us as well. So it's a continuing theme. And after the last Reserve Bank board meeting, I visited Yirrkala in eastern Arnhem Land and had a fantastic time talking to the Indigenous elders there about the artwork there. So it's really good to be in this fantastic location as well. On behalf of the Reserve Bank Board, I would like to welcome you all to this community dinner. As you would be aware, the Reserve Bank held its monthly meeting in Melbourne today. This was the first meeting that we've had in our new offices in Collins Street. Last year, we sold the building that we'd had for many, many years on the corner of Collins and Exhibition. If you know Reserve Bank buildings, you would identify it very clearly. It's very much in our style. So even though we're in a different location, it's really great for us to be back in Melbourne, and thank you for joining us. As you are probably also aware, at our meeting today, the board decided to cut the cash rate by 0.25% to 0.75%. As you can imagine, that decision followed a very detailed assessment of global and Australian developments. Globally, the main issue we discussed is the uncertainty generated by the trade and technology disputes between the US and China. Understandably, these trade disputes are leading to a lot of uncertainty, and firms around the world are reacting to this uncertainty by sitting on their hands. They're asking, why would I invest now with all this uncertainty? At the same time, many businesses are having to deal with disruptions to their global supply chains. The end result of this is after a period of reasonable growth in the global economy, the risks are now very much clearly to the downside. And the central banks around the world are responding to these downside risks by lowering interest rates. With inflation low and expected to remain low, the central banks are taking out some insurance against the possibility of growth globally slowing quite a lot. From a longer-term perspective, I think this is important. Central banks have been responding to fundamental shifts in the global balance between savings and investment. The underlying explanation for why we have low interest rates around the world is that the global appetite to save is high relative to the global appetite to invest. And one of the first things I learned when I studied economics in high school in Wagga Wagga was that most of economics is about supply and demand. And that's true here about global interest rates as well. When the global supply of savings is very high relative to the demand to use those savings to invest in new productive capital, the price of savings, which is after all the interest rate, is going to be low. When lots of people want to save and people don't want to use the savers get low returns. There are certainly other factors at play as well, but saving investment decisions right around the world are at the heart of the issue of why we have unprecedentedly low interest rates. This means that the key to a return to more normal interest rates globally is to address the factors that are leading to a low appetite to invest relative to the appetite to save. And that's mainly a task for governments and for business, not for central banks. Whether or not that will happen, only time will tell. But as a central bank in a small open economy, we have to take the world as we find it. While we might wish it were otherwise, we can't ignore these global trends and their impact on our own economy. So the board is watching developments in this area very carefully. Domestically, the board today discussed how the Australian economy appears to have reached a gentle turning point. That's good news. The economy has undoubtedly been through a soft patch recently, but we are expecting a return to around trend growth over the next year or so. There are a number of factors that are supporting this outlook. These include the low level of interest rates, the recent tax cuts, ongoing high levels of spending on infrastructure, signs of stabilisation in our housing markets, and a brighter outlook for the resources sector. Putting all these factors together provides a reasonable basis for expecting that the economy will remain on an improving trend over the next little while. As you might know as well, the board has been paying very close attention to developments in our labour market. Over recent years, employment growth has consistently surprised on the upside, and that's unambiguously good news. At the same time, though, the strong demand for workers has been met with more growth or strong growth in the supply of available workers as the participation rate rises to a record high. It's all about supply and demand again. The demand for workers is strong and the supply of workers is strong as well. And the result of that is the price of workers' wages are not moving very much. So wage growth is slow, and that in turn has contributed to the extended run of low inflation outcomes in Australia. In considering these developments today, the board decided that it was appropriate to ease monetary policy further. We are seeking to make more assured progress towards both full employment and the inflation target. We still expect to make progress on both these fronts, but regrettably that progress is slower than we would like, and I'm confident that today's decision will help us make better progress. In reaching that decision, the board recognises that the impact of monetary policy on the economy has changed over time, and that there can be some undesirable side effects from lower interest rates. So we talk about that a lot at our board meetings. And the many people who write to me saying how low interest rates are hurting their finances are a constant reminder of this. And as I was coming here this evening, someone yelled out from their car to tell me that I wasn't doing a good job. So I'm constantly reminded of the negative effects of low interest rates. So we do have to take that into account. But importantly, the board also recognises that monetary policy still works. It supports employment, jobs and income growth across the economy. Today's decision, together with the decisions we made in June and July, will assist on each of these fronts. It will help promote employment, jobs and income growth. In reaching these decisions, we take account of the collective welfare of the Australian people, which is the ultimate objective of monetary policy. And our judgment is that more jobs, stronger employment growth and better income growth will support the collective welfare of the Australian people who we ultimately serve. Even so, my earlier point about the solution to low global interest rates is relevant in Australia here too. We'll all be better off if businesses have the confidence to expand, invest, innovate and hire people. Given Australia's strong fundamentals, this shouldn't be out of our reach, but it does require constant effort on all our parts. And one part of this effort could be a renewed focus on structural measures to lift the nation's productivity growth. At our meeting today, as well as considering monetary policy, the board had its six-monthly deep dive into financial stability issues. On Friday, we were releasing the results of this in the financial stability review, but ahead of that, I just want to highlight three issues for you. The first is that internationally, there seems to be a disconnect between the uncertainty that investors feel about the economic situation and the compensation that they require for holding risk. Normally, when people feel uncertainty about the future, they want to be compensated for taking on extra risk. It's understandable. At the moment, though, despite the high level of economic uncertainty, credit spreads are low and asset prices are generally high right around the world. At our meeting today, we talked about the possibility of a shock somewhere in the global system that could cause a recalibration here, leading to a disruptive pricing of risk. So this is something to keep an eye on. A second issue we discussed is the resilience of Australia's financial system, which has improved steadily over recent times. The core capital ratios of the Australian banks are now well within the top quartile of banks globally. And this means that our banks are very well placed to withstand a wide range of shocks, and this is good news. Lending standards have also been strengthened over recent times. Well, I think in some areas the pendulum probably has swung a bit too far. It's important that our financial institutions support small business in particular. Lenders should not be so scared of making a loan that goes bad that they don't provide credit that the economy needs. So again, this is something we need to watch. A third issue that we discussed is that the Australian household sector has while it has a high level of debt, it's built up substantial buffers over time, which increased its resilience. All up, the balances in mortgage offset accounts and redraw facilities amount to 16% of total housing credit outstanding. That's equivalent to around 2.5 years of required mortgage payments at current interest rates. It's important, though, to recognise that these figures mask a lot of variation across households. We estimate that around a quarter of households with a mortgage have either no buffer or only a very small buffer. Overall, though, loan arrears remain low. They've risen a bit in recent times, but they remain low. And we estimate that around 4% of households with mortgages have negative equity. Most of those households are in Western Australia, where there's been a large decline in housing prices, and quite a few households there are in negative equity. So this is another area we're watching. On a completely different matter, I just want to draw your attention to the fact that we will be releasing the new $20 note next week. It's the 9th of October. This note is printed here in Melbourne at our printing works in Craigieburn. And I've brought along a few notes hot off the printing presses. I'm sorry I can't trade them with you, but if you're interested later in the evening, I can share them with you. I sometimes get asked why the Reserve Bank is replacing the existing series of banknotes, which I hope you all love, especially when we're moving to electronic payments. People also wonder, do we still need banknotes with contactless payments now so ubiquitous? Given these questions, it might surprise you to know that the demand for banknotes in Australia is as strong as it's ever been. The stock of banknotes on issue relative to the size of the economy is around the highest in 50 years. It's possible that low interest rates are part of the answer here. But all up, there are 14 $100 notes out there for every Australian, 14. There are 30 50s and 7 20s. That makes for around $3,000 in banknotes on issue for every Australian. I, for one, don't have my share. I don't know how many people in this room have 3,000. I don't. But that's the average across the country. So there's strong demand for our core product of banknotes. At the RBA, we've recently undertaken some work to understand where all these banknotes are. Maybe some people can help me here. I don't know. But it is hard to know where they all are, but we estimate that around a quarter are used to make legitimate transactions day to day in the Australian economy. A quarter. That doesn't mean the rest is illegitimate, but it appears that between half and three quarters of the banknotes that are out there are held as a store of value. They're held in safes, under beds, and perhaps at the back of cupboards, both here and elsewhere around the world, because we know there's strong demand for Australian banknotes around the world to be held as a store of value. So around half to three quarters of banknotes are used in that for that purpose. We estimate that a further 4 to 8% are used in the shadow economy, either to hide transactions from the tax office or to undertake illegal transactions. And finally, as best we can tell, between 5 and 10% of our valuable banknotes are either simply lost, maybe at the beach in the waves, or destroyed and maybe in a natural disaster. So between 5 and 10% of the value is destroyed. So as best we can tell, that's where all the banknotes are, and there's still strong demand for banknotes, and the government earns significant seigniorage via the Reserve Bank, not as much as it used to because interest rates are low, but the government still earns significant seigniorage through these banknotes. One indicator of the decline in the use of banknotes for day-to-day transactions is the fact that the value of cash withdrawn through ATMs has fallen by a quarter over the past decade, and I expect that will decline further over the years ahead. Australians have clearly embraced the convenience of electronic payment methods. We're also increasingly embracing the payments through Australia's new 24/7 payment system, the new payments platform. I hope you know about it. If you haven't already got your PayID, to use the simple addressing features of this new system, I encourage you to go and get one. And if your bank is not offering the new fast payment services to you, I encourage you to ask them why. And if you're not happy with the answer, I strongly encourage you to give thought to switching banks. And that's as much financial advice as I'm allowed to give without a licence. Some of my colleagues from ASIC are here, so I have to be careful. But go and get a PayID. If your bank's not offering you the new service, go and look for a different bank. Before finishing, I'd like to return to the question of why we are issuing this new series of banknotes. And the main answer is to keep ahead of the counterfeiters. Australia has had one of the safest and most secure currencies, banknotes, in the world. The level of counterfeiting here is low. Over recent times, there have only been around 15 counterfeits detected for each million banknotes that are in circulation, so only 15 in a million of counterfeit. That compares with rates of counterfeit notes of over 50 in many other countries. So we have low counterfeiting rates, but we know the counterfeiters don't stand still and we need to keep ahead of them. So Australia's new banknotes have some world-leading high-tech security features. They're going to make those banknotes safe, reliable and secure for you to use for many years to come. And for those of you who still use banknotes for your spending, and there are some, it would be good to see a bit more use of those banknotes and a bit more spending out there, so feel free to use them. The economy needs it, so a bit more use of our banknotes for spending would be good. A fine